Welcome to the Movement Church in Orange County, California. We believe that today's message will inspire you, challenge you, and raise your faith that God is up to something big in your life. Let's jump into today's message.
And let me just say hello to those of you who are online tuning in. Come on, would y'all help me greet those that are online right now? We're glad that you're with us. We've got people watching all around the world. Literally, we have a watch party in Clapham, London. And not because my daughter's there, just a group of people that are just like, hey, we're going to tune in. We got people watching in Africa. We got, I think, billions served, just like McDonald's, what I hear. That's what the statistics show. But we're glad you're with us. And those of you that are in the family room, we love you. We see you. Thanks for jumping in. Come to the car. Packing up all the kids and then sitting in a different room to worship with us. We love you. You're the committed ones. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Showing up, pushing their stroller. Man, those strollers are ginormous. It's like a wagon train. They got everything they need. I think I saw a child crawl out of it and then another child and a dog somewhere. Also, don't bring your dog stroller to church. We'll make fun of you. But let's move on. I want to just share a quick message, a quick word for you. We're going to just jump into the scripture here real quickly before I pray. Matthew 22, verse 37 through 39. This is Jesus talking, and it's kind of a big deal. Everybody say, kind of a big deal. Jesus was kind of put on the spot, and some of the religious leaders were asking him, hey, what's the most important commandment? And they thought they're going to trip him up, but he says this, and it really kind of shapes really the way we're supposed to live. He said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. So he's saying your first priority is to love God with everything you have. He said, this is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So Jesus is giving us the greatest commandment, which is to love God and love people. Say, love God and love people. That was weak. Say, love people. He gives us this directive, and it's all throughout the New Testament. This is the great commandment, how we're to live, to love God and to love people. Now, this is a non-negotiable. So if you're here and you're a follower of Jesus, you need to know there are things that are non-negotiable to call yourself a Christian. You don't have to like them. You don't have to agree with them, but you don't get to decide. Like, God's not going, hey, can I get your opinion on this real quickly? What do you think about this? Like, this is the great commandment for us. It's non-negotiable. And Jesus establishes the church to create a family of faith where people can belong and grow in their faith so that we can reach people with the great commandment. And he never intended to establish some weak, apathetic church. Jesus established a church that he wants to be a family of people who live bold lives. Can I get an amen? Amen? Who pray bold prayers, who worship boldly, who have bold faith, who live boldly in everything. That's what Jesus died. He gave his life for the sins of humanity. He established the church. He said, now live boldly. Nowhere would God say, live marginally. Nowhere would Jesus say, just take it easy. Don't make any waves. Don't have big faith. Don't pray big prayers. No, Jesus is saying, hey, let's live boldly. And listen, the Movement Church, we want to be a bold church. We are a bold church. We're not here to be apathetic to the needs of the community that we live in. We're not here to be a country club for Christians so that everybody can just feel good and go home feeling good. I don't know why you sound like that, but you do. No, I'm kidding. We're a bold church who wants to experience the power and the presence of God every time we gather to see God move in supernatural ways. But Jesus didn't stop with the great commandment. He also gave us a great commission. And that's what I want to talk about today. We see it in the end of Matthew in chapter 26, and we read about it in Mark chapter 16, just before he ascends to the right hand of the Father after his death, burial and resurrection. Jesus looks to his disciples and he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. So he challenges us to live by the great commandment to love God and to love people. And he gives us a mission called the Great Commission, to go into all the world and proclaim the gospel. Can we pray? Let's do it. God, we thank you that you're here. We thank you that you are up to something big. God, we thank you that you're up to something bigger than we could ever possibly even imagine. God, I thank you that you're here in this place today to do something exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or imagine, to do the supernatural, God. God, we thank you that you came to do the miraculous in our life, not just the ordinary. God, we thank you that you created us to live bold lives, to have bold faith, to pray bold prayers, and to make a bold impact in this region. And God, I thank you that you've given us the power and the strength and the grace to do it. In Jesus' name I pray, and everybody said, amen. Amen and amen. Mark 16, the Great Commission, and he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole of creation. A bold church is committed to the Great Commission. And hey, listen to me, just right here, lean in for a second, look at me right in the eyes. If you're here and you're a follower of Jesus, this is non-negotiable. In other words, you don't get to say, I'm a Christ follower, but I'm going to set what Jesus said here on the shelf, and I'll visit it when I want to and when it's convenient. If you're here and you're not a follower of Jesus, permission to belong before you believe, you get a hall pass on this. But for the rest of us, this is non-negotiable. I mean, imagine, if you will, a guy who trains to become a pilot, and he passes all of the medical exams, all of the ground training. He passes all of the flight training. He logs hours over and over and over again. And then he dons the attire with the epaulets and the buttons and the hat. I don't know why pilots still wear hats. I love it. I'm like, do I salute? I don't know if I'm supposed to salute you or not. You remember when you were a kid, did you ever go in the cockpit and talk to the pilot who was like, and they would give you the little plastic. Anybody remember that? Give you the little plastic. Okay, y'all are not old enough. After 9/11, that stopped. Before 9/11, you could like run around in the cockpit during the flight. It was awesome. Imagine this pilot. He dons the attire. He looks the part. He has the knowledge. He knows what all of the instrument panels are intended to do. He knows how to engage everything. And then he arrives at the gate, and he runs through the checklist, and he closes the cabin doors, and he says, flight attendants, please prepare for takeoff and start talking to all the passengers, even though they aren't going to listen to you ever. Can I get an amen? We all know. Put the mask on first, then everybody else, and then assume this position because you're going to die faster or slower. We don't know. This you die quickly. This you don't die. I don't know what the difference is, but you guys get me. Imagine this pilot. He has all the knowledge. He's dressed and prepared. He's equipped. He has everything he needs to do. He closes the cabin doors, and then he shuts off the engines and refuses to take flight. He's trained. He's healthy. He's equipped. But he fails to do what he was commissioned to do. And I just believe far too many Christians have been saved, set free, redeemed. They look the part. They have the knowledge. They know the scripture. They know when to clap for the fast songs and raise their hands for the slow ones and say amen when Pastor Kerry needs it because he just looks great today. Can I get an amen? And yet fail to do what they're commissioned to do, which is to actually proclaim the gospel. It's terrifying, actually. Jesus said, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole of creation. And the word go in the original Greek, it means to go. Sometimes we're like, what's the deeper meaning? What did the actual Septuagint say? If you mix the Greek and the Hebrew, we get the Grebrew. What did that word actually mean? Give me an alternate meaning, but no, actually it just means to go out. To move, shake your neighbor and say move. It also means to conduct one's life. Like Jesus was saying, go. It's the idea that my life, must be centered on intentionally moving the gospel forward. That I'm doing something with my life and not just sitting in my Christianity. And I'm scared that most, not at this church, all the other churches, okay, of course. I'm concerned that most are intentionally focused on self-help. That Christianity has become for you how to be the healthiest version of you. And that's good. You need, in fact, I don't like to tell people to get better because that's near impossible. But you can get healthy. You can have a healthy marriage. You can live a healthy life. You can be a healthy Christ follower. But the end goal is not that I've self-helped myself into the greatest state of health. That's not the mission. Jesus didn't say, go and make sure you get soul care for the rest of your life. We need soul care. We need to be healthy. We need healthy rhythms. But he said, go and proclaim the gospel. He's saying, get moving. A sedentary life is a sad life. You know what's crazy to me is that walking has become an amazingly epic exercise today. Walking. Why? Because as humanity, we've become sedentary. We're doing less. After COVID, you did not want to go back to the office. You wanted to put on a shirt and tie and your PJ pants and sit in front of a Zoom camera. Can I get an amen? Yeah. Hopefully you shut your camera off before you stood up to go to the restroom. Can I get an amen? And so now walking has become a key exercise because we're so immobile in our life. And listen, if you're not doing any exercise, walking is good. But it cannot be the be-all. It's a transition to a greater state of health. So here's just a thought before I go any further, just kind of like let's open a separate tab that doesn't necessarily have to do with today's message, but what is currently stationary in your life that needs to get moving? Do you need to like defibrillate some dreams in your life? Like the older I get, the less I want to dream because I find the less I want to be disappointed when dreams don't come to pass. But maybe God just wants to defibrillate some dreaming in your life. What is stationary that needs to get moving? Maybe it's a risk-taking. It's terrifying to me that we've become so risk-averse. Like, we do want to be wise. But some of you are so wise, it's been so long since you've taken a risk because you just don't want to feel that experience of the unknown. And sometimes the unknown is that place where you're about to jump and you're thinking, everything could fall apart. And the beautiful thing about that is you go, God, you got to pull through. And there's something about risk-taking that puts 100% dependence upon who God is. And we need that in our life. Like, bet the farm. Like, we're going for it. Like, holy smokes, I am terrified. I can't put a sentence together because God, if you don't show up, I'm telling you, man, my wife and I, when we moved here to plant this church, we didn't know if anybody was going to come with us. We didn't know anybody here. It was terrifying. It was terrifying. Every day I woke up and I did not feel like P. Diddy. I felt like a giant was sitting on my chest. Because I'm like this, but all I knew to do was to roll out of my bed and go, God, you got to show up. You got to show up. And I just think we've lost dependency in God because we've become risk averse. What is currently stationary in life that needs to get moving? Maybe it's actually fostering some healthy relationships. Literally, in the last 3 weeks, I've had conversations with 5 different guys who said, I've just never really had good, solid guy friends, which is terrifying to me. Whether you're a man or a woman, you need some godly friendships in your life. And so maybe for you, what is stationary is hiding behind the fact that I've never had a great relationship, so I'm not going to engage in trying to build one. And great relationships take 3 years to build. I don't know why I did that, but you leaned in for a minute. What is stationary that needs to get moving? Maybe it's your future financial planning, and you've just been dragging your feet because you just can't afford to. And I'm going to tell you right now, you can't afford not to. Maybe some of you just need to not go to Starbucks and put $25 a week into an account where you're saving it for your future. Can I get an amen? Someone young needs to hear that right now. Can my older folks just say amen right now, please? Yeah. Maybe we need to start avoiding the Monday all start. How many of you started a diet on Monday? Every Monday. Can I get an amen? It's like, I was not good in the gym, but Monday's coming, baby. And you're like, I'm not even motivated on Monday. Tuesday. Tuesday's the day, baby. What is stationary that needs to get moving? Jesus said, go. He wasn't talking ambiguously. He was referring to reaching the lost and the hurting and the broken. So what God wasn't asking, when Jesus said this, he wasn't saying, hey, when I say go, you determine what I mean by that. He was saying, no, I'm being specifically intentional. I've already given you the great commandment to love God with everything you've got and to love people. But here's the great commission, go and proclaim the gospel. He wasn't being ambiguous. He was referring to reaching the lost and the hurting and the broken. Edmund Burke said, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. September 1st, 1939, World War II began. And the British government was reaching out to the United States government going, please, we need you, 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 we need you. And we said, not yet, no. We're in the middle of a Great Depression. Employment is at 30% to 40%. We've got soup kitchens and food. We need to get healthy first. We need to get healthy as a nation first. The Battle of Dunkirk, Winston Churchill was reaching out to FDR going, please, 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 we need your help. We need your help. Well, I just can't. We can't yet. We've got to wait. It's not time yet. We can't do this yet. And for 2 years, we said no. We sat back and we did nothing until what? December 7th. Do y'all not do history? December 7th, the day that we'll live in? Okay, so thank God. Education's working. Or you were listening, one of the two. Pearl Harbor. The Japanese come and sneak attack and they awoke the sleeping giant. We did nothing because we were getting healthy until the enemy showed up on our front door. And just a few years later, the war ended because of the Allied forces. Australia crushed it. Thanks. The war ended. Imagine if we had gotten involved 2 years earlier. Do you know that they surmise in Nazi-occupied Europe that the bulk of the genocide that took place happened within the last year of the war? I wonder how many innocent Jews and Polish could have been saved. I wonder if Pearl Harbor would have never happened. We had to get healthy, though, as a nation, where it's the Great Depression. The greatest thing for evil to triumph is for good people to do nothing. Jesus said, go into all the world. The word world literally means the created, ordered, and arranged world. It's the opposite of chaos. It is a beautiful design. I went to one of my favorite theologians in preparation for this message, ChatGPT, and I'm 100% kidding, but I use ChatGPT all the time. And I asked ChatGPT to explain the complexity of the human anatomy in 3 sentences. Look at this. It'll be on the screens for you to read. The human anatomy is a marvel of complexity with intricate systems working together seamlessly to sustain life. from the delicate balance of the nervous system coordinating movement and sensation to the intricate network of blood vessels delivering oxygen and nutrients to every cell, the body operates with remarkable precision. Each organ, tissue, and cell plays a specialized role in interconnected in a web of functions that enable the body to adapt, survive, and thrive in its environment. And God did that in a breath. In a breath. It didn't happen over billions of years of evolution. Things left to themselves don't get better. They get worse. And God, in a moment, breathed life into the lungs of Adam and created that. I don't believe in coincidences. I don't. I believe that God has ordained every step. Now, there are times where we take the reins into our own hands and we say, I'm going to live the life that I want to live. But God is working behind the scenes. Romans 8:28 says, we know in all things God is working for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So he's saying, Carrie, you might have taken the reins back, but I still love you. You're still my son, and I've got a purpose. And as you're running away from me, I'm running towards you, and I'm putting some pieces back together because it is not my will that anyone would perish, but all would have everlasting life. In fact, the Bible says that he's not slow, as some count it slowness, but he is patient towards us. So I believe that God ordered and orchestrated everything. Nothing happens by coincidence. Everything happens by design. God is constantly working behind the scenes, listen to me, creating opportunities for the lost. And the world is huge, but your world is small. You ever run into somebody, some random stranger in some random place, and you realize you know some same person in a different life, you're like, oh, it's a small, we were in the oldest walled city in Italy about 5 years ago. Me and my wife, and like a typical American tourist, I drove through it illegally, unintentionally, and they're like slamming, Dion, I'm not cool, nice guy, and I'm slapping on the hood, and I'm just like, I can't turn around, the walls are closing, Megan's crying, laughing so hard, and that's my Italian accent for you. So we park and like try to come into the city from a different angle, and we're literally in the Chianti region, and I hear some dude go, Kerry Robinson? I'm like, crap, I hope he didn't see me drive through this city. It was a random guy that I went on a missions trip to Haiti with 20 years earlier. And I was like, what's his name? What's his name? What's his name? It's a small world, isn't it? The world seems huge, but God placed you in your orbit, in your sphere of influence. So yes, Jesus was simultaneously saying, we need to reach the unreached people groups. We need to reach nations who don't have the same access to Scripture that we do. But he was also saying, you are placed in a world right now that is your workplace, your neighborhood, the sports activities that your kids go to, the gym that you work out at, the restaurants that you frequent, the Starbucks that you go to every day. That is your world. When he said, go into all the world, that's exactly what he meant. And what did he say to do? He said, proclaim. In the Greek, it means to herald. The synonym is to announce a joyful message. It's like Elf. Dad, I'm in love. I don't care who knows it. That's the best scene in that. He's got that big furry hat on and meets the South Pole elf, but that's another conversation. And it's a proclamation because I'm full of joy because of who I am now versus who I was then. So I'm filled with joy. I'm not perfect. My God, I'm so much healthier than I was back then. And this is something worth sharing. Do you know that 47%, nearly 50% of millennials agree that it is wrong to share one's personal belief with someone of a different faith and hope that they will one day share the same faith. If you were born between the years 1975 and 1995, you're a millennial. Sorry, for some of you just found that out and you're like so angry. Like, I wanted to be a Gen Xer, man. I don't know why you sound that way. They think it's wrong to share their faith in the hopes that one day that individual will share the same faith as me. And if you believe that Jesus died for your sins and he's the only way to heaven, that's a tragedy. I think we're more intentional about self-help than we are about the Great Commission. This is not something to be ashamed of or to be silent about. He said, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel. The gospel. Jesus wasn't saying, hey, go and live intentional lives and you guys decide what's the best thing to do. No, he's very specific. Get moving. Proclaim the good news, the gospel, to the world. The word gospel in the Greek is, it's good news. And you get that because it is good news. The same synonym was used when the angel appeared to the shepherds just a few 35, 33 years before this scripture we're reading today. And the angels appeared to the shepherds and said, behold, I bring you good news, which will be unto all people. The same word. It was proclaiming the birth of Jesus, saying, this is good news. It's the best news. It's the fact that there's no greater news than the saving knowledge that Jesus Christ provides. And when you know something good, you want to talk about it. You ever thought about what good food and a good sale and a good movie or a good Instagram reel or a good song have in common? You tell your friends about it. You want to know where to eat? You come talk to me because I like some good food. Can I get an amen? Octopus taco at Lupe's right now. You go after service. They will fry some cheese, throw it on the bottom of the tortilla, then grilled octopus, cilantro, some crispy onions, and a chipotle cream sauce in which the Holy Spirit resides. They're chips and guacamole. Life changing. You see a good movie, you tell your friends about it. You compliment a woman on her outfit. She's like, oh, thank you. I got her at Target. It was on sale. Nah. I didn't ask that, but thanks. Amazon, woo! I follow this influencer, and she gave that. Okay, y'all track it with me. Are you with me? You proclaim good news to people. Let's not fail to claim the good news of what Jesus did when he saved a wretch like me. Are you with me? It's good. Good news. It's good news. You know, we moved out here 2011, August 2011, my wife and I, and to plant this church. And it was crazy season. Before that, we were youth pastors. We were on staff at a church in Arizona for about 5 years, and in Dallas, for 6 years on staff, but we grew up in the Dallas area. And in the process of being youth pastors, we had opportunities and spoke at an annual youth conference in Dallas. So, you know, about 1,000, 1,200 kids would show up, and we would speak every year, and then we'd do breakout sessions with youth pastors, and we'd pray over youth pastors, and so we had a lot of, you know, this is in the early years of Facebook, and so we had a lot of friends that we had acquired on Facebook because of the conferences we were speaking at. And one day, we're in bed just kind of going, God, we're really about to plant this church. And Megan got tagged in a Facebook post by a girl named Girly Gordy. She said, dreaming about and praying about helping Pastor Kerry and Megan plant their church. I'm like, who is this creeper? And why did she just announce to the world? Megan follows up and she's like, yeah, I think Pastor Kerry needs to talk to my husband, Pastor Scott. And well, they had been youth pastors earlier and attended the conference that we spoke at multiple times and had just followed along in the journey. And they both felt like God was putting this sense of, let's bet the farm. Let's take a big risk. We had a conversation. They flew out to hang out, and we made them stay in a hotel because I wasn't sure if they were creepers or not. A few months later, they sold their homes and quit their jobs and did the opposite that the rest of the world is doing and moved from Texas to California. I don't know if you know this, but it's a lot more expensive here. They helped us plant our church. Gurley is our executive pastor here, and Scott is one of our pastors, but also a resident sound man. He's on the soundboard right now. How many of your lives have been impacted by the Gordys? What's interesting is they moved into a neighborhood trying to find the cheapest place. I mean, they sold their home. So, like, it was a condo. Like, we went from a ginormous mansion with Shetland ponies and Magnum PI lived next door, and we got to go to a condo, and they moved next door to this family named Ryan and Jessica Ishino. If you've been around the church long enough, you remember the Ishinos. She passed away a few years ago. They came to our church day one, too. They gave their life to the Lord here, and we baptized them. And then they started leading our missions organization, and we have a church in Africa, and we feed 300 kids weekly because of Ryan and Jessica Ishino. If you've been a part of Give Hope, they started Give Hope. If you've been a part of Serve Day, they started Serve Day. Because Scott and Gurley, God, I didn't mean to cry. Like, this is stupid. Jeez. Bet the farm. Because they knew us from a conference. They moved to a random neighborhood, which is their world, and just invited somebody to church. Nothing happens by coincidence. We launched. We sent out 250,000 mailers. You get mailers every day, and you know what you do with them? You throw them in the recycling bin immediately. You know what I'm talking about? You just go through your mail, trash, 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 bill, trash. Handwritten note, oh, it's a fake handwritten from a realtor, goodness. We sent out those mailers. And it landed in a mailbox in a home just off of Avery and the Five, and this really cool couple with two really good-looking kids named Joe and Katie Boyd were like, we got to go check this church out. And he's a Giants fan. In week one, I talked about Tony Romo beating the Giants the night before, and he tweeted at me, their executive pastors on our staff today, and their son's dating my daughter. He's a great guy. He's here. They're talking about marriage. So you better make some big bucks. She's a bougie kid. It's her mom's fault. A couple years later, Joe hurt his knee and had to get surgery. And he had insurance. And the insurance had to dictate which physical therapy he would go to. And he randomly chose this therapy called Roush something or other. And this dude named Jonathan Meltzer starts helping Joe work out the issues with his knee, and Joe's like, hey, I'm preaching, you should come and hang out. And Jonathan and Ruth Meltzer showed up, and our lives have never been the same. They're a major part of our kids' organization, and they, like, care about your kids probably more than you do. They dream about how to inspire kids. You don't. You're just like, dream about how to kick them out of the house. And they live in this neighborhood in Mission Viejo and started inviting their friends. And Scott and Kate came. Kate designed most of our graphics. Scott works over there in the kids area as well because he cares about your kids probably more than Jonathan does. God doesn't do things by accident. We had a guy who used to go to our church, and his name was Clay. And his bank was Wells Fargo. And just would always go to the same teller, this guy named Matt. Clay was the greatest guy ever. He still is. He's a great guy still. He just moved to Texas. And they just started striking up conversation, and Clay invited Matt to church. And Matt and his fiance, Stacy, came. And they had a roommate. Her name was Kelly, and she started coming. And then that roommate, Kelly, ran into a girl at the mall. Said, hey, why don't you come to our Connect group? And that girl at the mall was Bianca DeDivas. Bianca DeDivas rededicated her life to the Lord here. I don't know if y'all know Bianca. She's a legend. She serves alongside David and helping our students. How many of you have been impacted by Bianca DeDivas? Because Clay invited his bank teller. Are you tracking with me? But another girl was a key volunteer, was on staff here at one point, and she worked at Bath and Body Works, I think, or whatever this lotion smell good place is. And she just crazy started inviting, like, the whole business showed up. Like, six girls came on one Sunday, and they never left. It was awesome. And one of those young ladies gave her life to the Lord here and interned here. And a few years later, my nephew, this tall, skinny, good-looking man to my right, had gone through a rough season, and he called me and said, I think I'm supposed to come and hang out at your church. I said, why don't you just come hang for the summer? And I knew I was going to make him be an intern for 9 more months after. I just didn't tell him. And he did. And then one of the girls that worked at Bath and Body Works saw him and was like, hey. I mean, look at him. Hey, boy, hey. They got engaged, and we married them during COVID on Zoom, and we had the best party ever. We danced without masks on. There's 25 of us, and it was illegal, and it was awesome. 200 people were watching online, and just a few weeks ago, can you show them that picture? Look at baby Theo. You don't, from an invitation, from an invitation to church. You see what I'm saying? Like, the heavy lifting is done. Just something happens in church that doesn't happen anywhere else. Life change takes place. Baby Theo is here, and he's the cutest little baby. Because of an invitation. So it might seem like a gimmick when every week for the 6 weeks leading up to Easter, like, hey, invite your friends, invite your friends, invite your friends. It's because when you invite your friends, you don't know what's on the other side of the invitation. And they may tell you no 100 times. And then that one time they'll show up. And you don't know what God does with that. I'm just telling you, maybe you don't know how to preach the gospel to your friend. You can invite them to church. We'll do the heavy lifting and preach the gospel for you. I promise it'll be good. And we'll have an artisanal bread bar. I don't even know what that is. It's like, what we should do, let's eat carbs on Easter. Sign me up in Jesus' name. I didn't know that was a thing. So, all I'm saying is, who are you bringing with you next week? And maybe it would be awesome if we made this an intentional part of our life and it wasn't just around Easter. I know it sounds like a bold suggestion. I just am trying to echo what Jesus said when he said, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel. I want to pray for you for just a second. Before you bow your heads, close your eyes. Can you just picture that person that you're bringing with you next week? If they're plugged into a church, don't invite them. We're not trying to get other people plugged into other churches. But if they don't have a church, if they're wavering in their faith, if they don't believe in God, bring them. We'll eat some bread together. and God will do the miraculous. Can you get him? Got him in your mind? Now let's pray. God, I thank you that you're organizing and ordering the steps of every individual on the other side of an invitation. You've been working behind the scenes to do the supernatural, to do the miraculous. And we don't know what stories we'll tell in years to come because of a simple invitation. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, hey, everybody, look at me for just about 60 more seconds. Some of you in this room, today is the beginning of your story where you have a holy moment with God, where you begin the journey of faith with him. I don't know what God's been doing behind the scenes, but I know you're here now. And this journey of faith has a starting point. It's not getting rid of your past. It's not being members of our church. It's simply choosing to believe that Jesus did what he said he did and is who he says he is. And in a moment, you can have a holy moment right where you're sitting with no embarrassment to you whatsoever and to begin that journey of faith. Would you do me a favor one more time? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Nobody moving, nobody looking around. If you're here and you've never begun the journey with Jesus, or maybe today is the day to begin that journey again for the first time in a long time. If that's you, in a moment, I'm going to pray a prayer, and right where you're seated, maybe in a quiet whisper or in the quietness of your own heart, just repeat this prayer after me. Just say, dear God, I know that you love me, that you've given me purpose. I'm not perfect. Would you forgive me? And now just make this statement your own. Just say, Jesus, I give you my life. In Jesus' name. Head still bowed, eyes still closed, nobody looking around, nobody moving. If you're here and you prayed that prayer with me for the first time or the first time in a long time, would you do me a favor? In a moment, when I count to three, would you just let me know? You're saying, Pastor Kerry, I prayed that prayer with you today. I'm beginning a brand new journey. And when I count to three, if that's you, just put your hand up and put it right back down. You're saying, I'm starting a fresh start right now, brand new, a new season, a new day for me. If that's you, on the count of three, lift your hands. Ready? One, two, three. Put your hands up. Awesome. Wow, wow, wow. Anyone else? Anyone else? Wow, so many hands. God, we thank you for what you're doing. Anyone else? You can put your hands down. God, we thank you for what you're doing in this place. We give you honor and glory. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said, amen. Come on, Movement Church. Let's give a hand clap for the men and women who prayed that prayer.
What a message. Hey, if you just prayed that prayer, connect with us by texting Jesus to 949-267-3242. And if you're local to Orange County, be sure to check us out on Sundays. You can get all the information at theocmovement.com.